Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Please make sure to read the announcements at the back of the bulletin to see what's going on around here and also in the community. Just a couple of things to highlight. One is we are in the middle of Lent, and so we do every Wednesday morning. We have a 10 o'clock Lenten prayer service, and that is over in the chapel. That's Wednesdays at 10 o'clock. And then in the evening, we continue with our Lenten Rotational with some of the other congregations here in town. And this week we are going to be at San Luis Catholic Church. And the schedule for that is 6 o'clock supper, 7 o'clock worship service. Are there other announcements? Sandra.
I'm sure as many of you know that there is a horrible fire blazing in the Texas Panhandle. The last time I heard, it was over 1 million acres and only about 25 to 30% contained. The National Disaster Response League is gathering money. They need it now. They need to buy hay and feed for their animals, and they need just everything that you need when you lose everything by fire. So we're going to have a collection, and we'd like to have it in the office by March 25th so that we can send it right there and they can get it. If you have it in your heart for these people, please give generously. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Sandra. Others? Announcements? Not then, I invite you to rise as we sing our opening hymn, God Will Take Care of You.
You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Amen, Lord,
honor your father and your mother.
Amen, Lord,
you shall not kill.
Amen, Lord,
you shall not commit adultery.
Amen, Lord,
you shall not steal.
Amen, Lord,
you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house.
Amen.
You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or his manservant, or his maidservant, or his cattle, or anything that is your neighbor's.
Amen.
Since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a troubled and penitent sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have offended you and for which I justly deserve your punishment. But I am sorry for them and repent of them and pray for your boundless mercy. For the sake and suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Forgive my sins, give me your Holy Spirit for the amendment of my sinful life, and bring me to life everlasting. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord. Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, does not desire the death of sinners, but rather that they may turn from their wickedness and live. Therefore, we implore him to grant us true repentance and his Holy Spirit, that those things may please him, which we do on this day, that the rest of our life may be pure and holy, and that at the last we may come to his eternal joy, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. God of all mercy, by your power to heal and to forgive, graciously cleanse us from all sin and make us strong. Through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We sing the hymn, Remember and Rejoice. You may be seated.
Thank you. First lesson comes from Numbers chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. From Mount Or, the Israelites set out by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. But the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up from Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food. Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The word of the Lord. We will read Psalm 107, verses 1 through 3, 17 through 22, responsibly. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever. He gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They abhorred all manner of food and drew near to death's door. He sent forth his word and healed them and saved them from the grave. Let them offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and tell of his acts with shouts of joy. The second lesson comes from Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. You were dead through the trespasses and sin in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Jesus said, "Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light, and do not come to the light, so their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated, and I ask the children to come forward for the children's sermon.
Come on up. There you are. Back at the beginning of Lent, we talked about focus, right? We had these out and we talked about focus. And Ash Wednesday was kind of an interesting focus. But the reason I was looking up is there have been studies that show that we don't look up very much. We tend to look forward or down. Matter of fact, you want to hide something really good, hide it high. People don't look up. Now, there's something else that doesn't look up either. Pigs. Pigs don't look up. Most of the time, they got their nose in the dirt, right? Well, part of that is because their necks don't work that very well. But the other part of it is they think they need everything they need is right there in front of them. Maybe that's why we don't look up. Maybe we think everything's right in front of us. But there is a woman who noticed that, and she wrote a poem about a pig that she had, and she said, "You know, I love looking up, but my pig can't." So she picked up the pig one night and pointed him up so he could see the stars. And she was amazed at what happened. That pig just stared up there in wonder at all the stars up there and almost had a smile on its face. I love our scriptures today. There's a whole bunch of my favorites in there. One of them is the Old Testament lesson that talks about the poisonous serpents. The people get to looking here. And they say, "Why have you brought us out here? We're going to die." And so the Lord sends poisonous serpents, and they bite them, and they start to die. And then, sure enough, guess what? They start to look up again. They say, "We've sinned. Save us." And so God tells Moses to put a big bronze serpent on a cross. And all they have to do is look up and believe. And then there's our next one, the gospel, with the famous John 3:16. I bet you probably know it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever should believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Again, looking up to the cross. Our focus at the beginning was Ash Wednesday, where we kind of looked at ourselves. "You are dust, to the dust you shall return." We looked at the things that were important in our life, that how God blessed us and how God is active in our life. But now Jesus' focus is starting to change. Here we are in the middle of Lent, and his focus is now starting to be, "I know I'm going to go to the cross." Maybe our focus should change too now in the middle of Lent. Maybe we should start looking up at the cross, because it's up there now, right now, our big cross. Maybe we should be looking like that pig at that cross, looking at that cross with a little awe and wonder. of what Jesus is going to do for us, maybe it's time for us to look up. Don't you think? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your gift of your Son who will die for us on the cross. Help us to keep our focus looking up to him and looking in faith with love towards him so that we can believe and be saved. Amen. Have a good day.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if you noticed, but all four of our scripture readings today say the same thing, or they follow the same pattern, basically, of what they do say. And so this morning, what I'm going to do is I'm going to kind of skip through all four of our scripture lessons. So I'll be moving back pages and forward every which way as we go through this. One of the first things that happens in each of these passages is that people have forgotten God. We look at Numbers. The Israelites were in the middle of the wilderness. They had God had freed them from Pharaoh. He had sent all the plagues, and Pharaoh says, Moses would go to Pharaoh and say, "Let my people go." Finally, Pharaoh let them go. And then Pharaoh's army started to pursue him again, and they were scared. So God opened the Red Sea so that they could go across the water safely. And they had gone to the mountain, and God had given them the Ten Commandments of how they are to live in right relationship with God and right relationship with each other. They had wandered around the wilderness for a while, and they said, "We're hungry." God had sent them manna. He had sent them food. And they still forgot who God was. And so they start to complain. "Why have you led us out here in this way? Why are we wandering around in the wilderness? Can't we take a shortcut? And we don't like this food that you gave us." They're complaining to Moses. They're complaining to God. They have forgotten who God was. In the psalm for today, people also forgot who God was. God has done this. If you look at verses 1, 2, and 3, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endures forever." God's given them plenty of mercy. "Let all those whom the Lord has redeemed proclaim that he had redeemed them from the hand of the foe." God had saved his people from wars, from slavery. He has brought some of them back. God has done all these things, and he gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. He's gathering them back together again. But people forgot. They forgot what God has done. They forgot that he did these things. And then if you look at Ephesians, it starts off, "You were dead through the trespasses of sin in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient." Again, people forgot who God was. God had created them. God had provided them with everything. And still, they're disobedient. They have forgotten who God does and what God does. And instead, then, they were following after Satan, after the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. They forgot. And in the gospel lesson today as well, then, too. This is the story that picks up with Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night because he is a high-ranking Jewish official, and he wants to do it in secret, otherwise he, too, might be persecuted. Or he's also thinking, too, that, well, if I know what's going on here, maybe I can kind of help behind the scenes. But Nicodemus had forgot everything that God had taught them as well then, too. And he was supposed to be highly learned. And he didn't understand this. What was going on before our lesson today is that whole discourse of baptism, of being born again or being born anew in the Spirit. Nicodemus did not understand that. And he should have. He was one of the most educated leaders in the land. he had forgotten. Okay, so after the people forgot who God is, what happens? They start to rebel. In the first lesson again, the people were saying, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food." They are starting to complain. They forgot who God was, they forgot what God did, and they start to complain. In the Psalm, verse 17, remember the first verses here, what they had forgotten was that God had redeemed them. He had saved them from the hand of the foe. He had gathered them together. And verse 17 says, "Some were fools and took to rebellious ways. They were afflicted because of their sins." Many of the people started chasing after the false idols, the idols that were in the land other than worshiping God. They started to rebel. In the second lesson, the rebellion comes here. In verse 3, "All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of our flesh and senses." We start to rebel against God, saying, "God, I know what's better than you. I am going to follow my own thoughts, my own ideas. What's best for me is what I think is best for me, not what you think is best for me." So we chase after the desires of the flesh. Whatever that may be, we chase after what we think is best. We are rebelling against God. And in the gospel lesson, the rebellion comes in verse 18. "But those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God." It says they do not believe. They have rejected God. They said, "God, I'm not going to believe in you. I'm going to go find my own ways. I'm going to go do my own thing." And they are condemned. All right, so people forget about God. They rebel against God because they have forgotten about God. But then comes the consequences, the affliction that happens to them. In the Old Testament lesson, then it was in verse 6, "Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died." When we rebel against God, when we reject God, we are rejecting His love. We are rejecting life itself. And the consequences of rejecting God is death, because we're cutting ourselves off from life. Without life, there is death. And so here in this First Testament lesson, it was the serpents that came along. It was the serpents who bit. It was the serpents who were poisonous and caused the death because the people had rebelled. And in the Psalm, verse 18, "They abhorred all manner of food and drew near to death's door." Again, they rejected God, and because they rejected God, they became weak and were getting close to death. And in the second lesson, the affliction. "And we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else." Children of wrath, people who are in turmoil, people who are destructive, people who do not have any more hope. Children of wrath, trouble, and death. And in the gospel lesson, the affliction that has hit us, "But those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God." We are condemned because we have rejected God. We have forgotten who God is. When we reject God, when we forget who He is, we are condemned. Without life, we are condemned to die. But then what happens next is that God hears the cry. God hears the cry of the people. Once we have forgotten who God is, and we have rejected God, that affliction starts to take over, starts to hit us, and we see that there is no hope. We see that we cannot fix it ourselves. And we start to cry out to God, God, help us. So in the first lesson, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us. They knew that they could not fix it. Or in the psalm for today, verse 19, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. Or the cry here in the second lessons, but God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. It's out of God's love, out of God's mercy, that he does hear us and that he reaches out to us. He saves us. He sent his Son into the world to bring that life and bring life everlasting to us. And in the gospel lesson as well then too, where he heard the cry, indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God looked down upon us and saw that this world was a troubled mess. He sent his Son into the world, not in order to wipe it all out or wipe out all the sin, but he came to save the world. Jesus took that sin upon himself and he died on the cross for us. God had heard our pleas that we needed life and that we need hope and that we need salvation. We need a life in him. And then we are healed. So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. We are healed. The people here in the Old Testament, they knew that they were in trouble. They had forgotten God. They rebelled against God. They had felt the pain of the poison in the serpents. They cried out to God. God heard their cry, and God healed them. God found a way to heal the people. In the psalm, it says in verse 20, he sent forth his word and healed them and saved them from the grave. God snatched them up from death. He healed them. He heard that cry, and he healed them. And in Ephesians, let's see. Again, we hear that same phrase in verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the results of work, so that no one may boast. It only comes from God. That healing that we need, not the healing that we deserve, but the healing that we need comes from God alone. We are saved by grace through faith. It's not what we do, but it's by what God has done for us. And then in the gospel lesson today, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Jesus gives us the hope. It's through that cross and through that resurrection that Jesus was sent into this world to save us. And he gives us that hope to have life and to have life fully. And so, as we go through this once again, we forget who God is. We forget what God has done for all of us, how he has created us, how he has blessed us, how he has given us everything we need to live in this life. We forget that. And we say, God, look at me. Look how great I am. I can make my own decisions. I have done so well for myself, I'm going to do on my own. We rebel against God. But that doesn't work out so good, because then we run into the afflictions. We run into trouble that we cannot fix. And when we know, when we hit bottom and we know we can't fix it, then we start to yell out to God, God, help us, save us. I can't do this on my own. During this time of Lent, That's where we're at right now in this time of Lent. We look back, we see what we have done, we see that we have forgotten God, and we repent. We turn back to God and draw our focus to Jesus Christ, because that's what we see. We see what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. He has healed us. He has saved us. And so the final part of these scripture lessons then are the response. What's our response? What do we do with this? Do we forget God once again? Or do we move ahead? Do we do as God intended us to be? For the Israelites, they continued on to the promised land. Unfortunately, they fall into this same pattern over and over again. They forget God. They reject God. They run into affliction. They repent. And God blesses them once again. And that pattern is over and over again. But eventually, they do respond to God, and they move into the promised land, into that land of where they belong. And let's see. So the response there is they continue on. The response in the psalm then, after they have been saved, after they've been troubled, after God has gathered them back together, he says, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his mercy and the wonders he does for his children. Let them offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving and to tell of his acts with shouts of joy." Again, that is our response as well there too, of thanksgiving, of praise and of worship, to acknowledge that, yes, God is life, and everything we have has been given to us from God. God has saved us. In Ephesians, the response is, "For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life." We are going back to what God has created us to be. To be the ones to do good works. To be in good relationship with God. To be in good relationship with each other. To give praise and thanks to God. To help our neighbor in need. To do the things that God has called us to do. That's what God intended us to be. And that's our response then, is to go back to what God intended us to be. And then the response here in John's gospel. "But those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." Again, our response, to go and do the works that God has called us to do. To come out into the light. And one of the things that does is when we are what God calls us to be, people see us. People see us because we're out in the light doing what God has done for us. And we have a smile on our face. We're enjoying what we are doing because we know that it is right with God. And when other people see the joy within our hearts and they see the help that we're willing to give to other people, they say, "I want some of that. I want to be a part of that. Tell me, why do you have so much joy in your heart?" And that's an opportunity then to tell the story of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, the pattern of these scripture passages that we read today, of forgetting who God is or what God has done for us, of rebelling against God, of suffering through the afflictions, of turning and repenting, and then responding to God. Unfortunately, those things happen over and over again. Maybe even on a daily basis to a small scale. The key is in remembering, always remaining faithful, always remembering that we are saved by grace through faith, by what Jesus Christ has done for us, of going to the cross and the resurrection. Christ says, "Take up your cross and follow me." We as Christians follow where Christ leads. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, "God Loved the World."
Please rise for the confession of faith. In Christ you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation.
We believe
Living together in trust and hope, we confess our faith. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world. Amen. Let us humbly beseech God for his mercy upon the church, the world, and one another. Dear Father, we know the words by heart. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Kindle your Holy Spirit within us, so that these words burn bright within us, and let them shine through all our thoughts, words, and deeds. Lord, in your mercy. Form the church into the perfect image of your beloved Son. Through its witness, let all people know of your great love for them. Lead them to believe in you and receive everlasting life. Lord, in your mercy. Lift up your faithful, persecuted church as a sign of your saving love in a sin-darkened world. Lord, in your mercy. Teach the leaders of nations the ways of wisdom, integrity, and humility. Do not let them be seduced by power and praise. Fill them with a hunger for justice, a love of mercy, and a desire to work for peace among all people. Lord, in your mercy. Ease the burdens of those who stand in harm's way on behalf of safety, health, and freedom. Make them wise, brave, honest, and good. We also pray that you would give prudence, common sense, and a dash of humility to each of us to make their jobs a little easier. Lord, in your mercy. As the Israelites looked upon the bronze serpent and were healed, grant that all who suffer may look upon the cross of Christ and find healing, forgiveness, and life. Today we pray for Byron Kramer, Joe Barnes, Pastor Craig Sturm, Lynn Magura, and the families of Guy Nobles and Sonny Seifert. Lord, in your mercy. We praise you, Father, for receiving into eternal life those who love Jesus in their mortal life. Keep our minds and hearts firmly fixed on him. Let us journey safely through the wilderness of this world and to the blessedness and joy of your promised land. Lord, in your mercy. For these things and for whatever else is needful, dear Father, we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who with you and the Holy Spirit reigns, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue with the offering. You may be seated. Let us pray. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you have blessed us with these gifts. With them, we offer ourselves to your service and dedicate our lives to your care and redemption of all that you have made. For the sake of him who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for the gifts of God have been made ready for the people of God. Body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Almighty God, you gave your Son both as a sacrifice for sin and a model of the godly life. Enable us to receive him always with thanksgiving and to conform our lives to his through the same Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May God the Father, who does not despise the broken spirit, give you a contrite heart. May Christ, who bore our sins in his body on the tree, heal you by his wounds. May the Holy Spirit, who leads us into all truth, speak to you words of pardon and peace. And may God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you now and forever. Amen. Our closing hymn, "Take My Life That I May Be."
Thank you.
As you go forth into the world to serve God with gladness, be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. As you leave, you are invited to share the peace of the Lord with those around you. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.